fact that there was a new teacher over different teachers. The two primary ones being Paul, who came and founded the church, and Apollos, who came after Paul left, eventually went to Ephesus, and he went to Ephesus, and then Apollos came, and Apollos did a lot of teaching, stayed there several years. Just about the whole 3.5 years that Paul was in Ephesus, Apollos was in Corinth. And so there were divisions within the church. You know, I follow Paul. We said earlier, in earlier chapter 1, I follow Paul. I follow Caesar. Well, I follow Jesus. You know, all that type of stuff is going on. But Paul wanted to understand something here. He says, who am I? Who is Apollos? We are ministers. Now we read that, ministers. We read it from a different standpoint in English than what the Greek is actually saying here. Because you see, the Greek word here is the word diakonos. And you've heard the word diakonos. It's from the word that's translated deacon, right? And what we think about in today's world, we think of the deacon as someone, as a person in a position of power within a church. Especially when you know about it more than Presbyterian Church and in the Baptist Church. In the Methodist Church, they weren't called deacons, they were called stewards. And I don't even know if we still have them officially or not, but it used to be that was a big thing. They were leaders within the church. They were people who held positions of power and authority within the church. But the original Greek word here is diakonos. And it's a Greek word that was used early in the book of Acts. You remember the story in the book of Acts where the people were coming to the apostles and they were saying, look, the people who are Hellenistic and the people who are not from Jerusalem, who are poor, they're not getting their fair share of the food. They're not getting their fair share of the benefits. And the apostles went aside and they prayed. And they came back and they said, it's not right for us to be serving tables. And so they set aside 7 people to be the diakonos, to serve the people, to serve the table. The diakonos literally means someone who waits on the table, a servant. Stephen and Philip were diakonos. Paul here is trying to get across to them, who are we? We are just servants. We're just the ones who have set the table. We're just the ones who are doing the table. Why are you dividing the church over us? We are just servants. I came and I planted. He uses the imagery here of gardening, the farming. I came and I planted, and Apollos came and he watered. But the increase comes from God. I think a lot of times we tend to overlook that particular line there. I planted Apollos watered. But the increase comes from God. Not from anything I did, not from anything that Apollos did. And I started thinking about that. Because I grew up, I didn't grow up on the farm. I grew up in what you could call kind of downtown Lisbon Springs, which really wasn't much bigger than being in downtown Jersey, I guess. But my granddaddy Ross was 3 miles that way, and my granddaddy Turpin was 3 miles that way. And so I was on one of their farms all the time. And I can remember when I was young, and Papa Turpin, he was still planting, you know, going out, and he had 50 acres that he put every year into what they call field corn. And what he'd do is grow that. He'd get the tractor, and he'd bust it up, and he'd power it out, and then he'd take the planter, and he'd plant it. And then as the corn started going up, he'd hook up the plow horse, and he would plow between the aisles. I can remember as a kid riding the plow horse while he was plowing between the aisles. I spent all day out there in the field riding that old plow horse while he was plowing between. But they had what they call, you know, the kitchen garden. They had about half an acre, which is out on the road, and that's where they planted the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, and the watermelons. And they had about an acre that was between the house and the barn. And that's where they planted the tomatoes and the corn. And, you know, I didn't know you're supposed to stake up green beans. I never knew that. He always planted the beans among the corn. As the corn grew, the beans grew, and you picked both of them at the same time. And you now, you're crowd of peas, and I'm not a big crowd of peas fan. I've always liked black-eyed peas, but everybody grew crowders, so I had to eat them my whole life. So I got brought up and bought my own. I buy black-eyed, but, you know, they buy the crowder peas, and you get the butter beans, and plant the tomatoes, and have the squash, and have the okra, and that be in the bean garden. And he just planted the tomato seed. He didn't even put out tomato plants. He just made a row, and he planted the tomato seeds. He didn't even stake them up. By the time they were producing, you had tomato vines going everywhere. It crossed the road over, be climbing up the fence, and be going down the aisles this way and everywhere. But there was always plenty of tomatoes. I can remember my mother putting up quarts and quarts and quarts of tomato sauce and tomato juice and her soup mixture that she would put together. I went and dug them myself. Few years back, we made tomato cages. Made them. Cut myself all up trying to bend those things up. Planted tomatoes, and they were so pretty. The plants were. They grew so tall and so green. Never had but one with that kind of thing. Watered them. Fed them. You can put the seed in the ground. Tomato vines crawling everywhere. Plenty of tomatoes. You're right. But maybe thinking about that. I planted, I watered. I did everything that I possibly could. I haven't got any tomatoes. Not one. Paul says, I planted. Apollos watered. But God's the one that gives the increase. The increase comes from God. What we do is not important from the standpoint of, yes, it's important that we know what we're supposed to do and we do it and that we are faithful in it. But success is not dependent on us. Its success is dependent on God. You know, a preacher, he says there that they would reap their reward. They would reap their reward, but there again, that's where the English and the Greek totally are against one another. Because the Greek, you know, we think of reward, what do we think? We think of a reward for something that is done successfully. We think about a person who's in a job where they make a commission, and so if they're able to make so much in sales or able to accomplish so much in a certain area, they get this kind of reward. That's what we think of, a commission and being their reward. But that's not what this Greek word means. The word here and later on in our reading today, the reward there, the Greek word there means a reward that is not based on success, but a reward that is based on motive and faithfulness. Being faithful. Being faithful. Paul says we'll get our reward. But our reward will be based not on what we have done, not on the fact that we planted the seed, not on the fact that we watered the ground, but on the fact that we were faithful to Him. That our motives were towards faithfulness. And then he uses a second imagery. He uses the word building here. But the actual Greek word here means monument. Monument. And you think about it. In the city of Corinth, the people there in the city of Corinth, they had all these great temples to all the great gods from all over the world. They had the great temple of Artemis, which was up on the hill, which was the most magnificent one that was there. And those who were Jews, who were Christians, who had gone to Jerusalem for their pilgrimage and back to the Holy Land for the Passover or for Pentecost or for the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Lights, they had seen the temple, Herod's temple in Jerusalem. Great monuments. Paul says that King God is like a great monument. The Church of God is like a great monument. And he says, I'm the master builder. And I have laid out perfect foundation. And the perfect foundation is Jesus Christ. Anyone who comes after me will be building on that foundation. But there's no other foundation. The only foundation that there is Jesus Christ. And he says not only Apollos is building on that foundation, but everyone who comes into this church and preaches and teaches, they are building on this foundation. Each and every one of you who are part of this church here in Corinth, what you do, you are also building on this foundation. And what you build is important. Some people are going to build with silver and gold and precious stones. Some people are going to build with wood and hay. When we're done building, there's going to come the day. And here, when he says the day, Paul's talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about the day when Jesus comes and descends from heaven with all his hosts with him. And there's the day of judgment when he will bring with him the fire of that judgment. And he says that what is built will be tested by that fire. And if it's silver or gold or precious stones, it will stand. If it is wood, hay and straw, it will not stand. If it is built with silver and gold and precious stones, they could go to any of these temples and see those type of things. Any of those monuments were covered with those type of things. Then there would be a reward. But if you build with wood and straw and hay, then will be destroyed. And thus, your reward will be destroyed. But you will be still retaining your salvation. Because you see, in order to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we have to admit and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And of course, they came up with different answers. And finally, Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. That will be. And Jesus goes, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because this did not come from you, it came from my Father. And you are no longer Simon, but you are Cephas. You are a rock. And on this rock I will build my church. And there's a lot of people who want to say that Peter is the rock on which Christ built his church. But Peter was not the rock that Christ built his church. Peter's confession was the rock upon which Christ built his church. And what Paul is saying here, he says, I have laid the master builder, I have laid the perfect foundation, and that perfect foundation is Jesus Christ.
for people to build on Jesus Christ, they've had to come to the point not just that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of God and the Messiah, but also the fulfillment of the rest of Jesus' life on earth, where he died and took away all our sins, where his blood was shed and we were redeemed by his blood. And he was resurrected, and we are justified. And even though maybe all of our works are not silver, and all of our works are not gold, all of our works are not precious stones, because we have claimed Jesus as our Lord, and Jesus as our Savior, Jesus as our Redeemer, and Jesus as our Justifier, we still have our eternal life. We still have life with him. But there again comes that word, reward. The reward. For those who build with straw and wood and hay, the reward is lost. But those who build with silver and gold and precious stones, the reward will come. Not based on what they did, but based on their faithfulness. Because when it is all said and done, the increase comes from the Lord. We can't do it. We can't make a seed sprout. We can't even make a seed. We still have to make a sprout. We can do all the things that we know is right, but we can't make it bear fruit. All we can do is be faithful. Be faithful. Just be faithful. Even when it seems like the odds are against us, be faithful. Even when it seems like our prayers aren't being answered, be faithful. Even when it seems ridiculous to pray the same thing over and 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 over. We don't even have to worry about it. It's not our problem. It's God's problem. All we have to do is be faithful. Amen. The altar is open for all prayers. If anyone would like to come down to the altar, prayer, we welcome you to do so. Stay as long as you like.